Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to ElChupacabra.mx. What a fun show this is. I'm Dr. John Stamey, live here from beautiful, sunny, the sun just set, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where it was about 80 degrees today. Everybody, eat your heart out. We do live in the sun fun capital of the world. At least I think so. It's beautiful here, and got a lot of great things done today, working on some Comic-Cons and talking to a lot of people and a lot of fun, and really looking forward to tonight's show with my buddy, the one and only Eli Watson. How you doing tonight, Eli?
I'm good. I'm good, John. I'm here chilling. It's like 50 degrees and raining here in Los Angeles, and it's blowing my mind.
It must be the chupacabra, or maybe it's the coronavirus. Who knows? But anyway, yeah. I tell you what, that coronavirus thing just wreaking all kinds of havoc in the press.
Yeah.
In the press.
Mm-hmm.
When you think you have it and you self put yourself away from everybody. What's the word, Eli? Sometimes I can't think of a word.
Isolate yourself.
Self-isolate, that's right. I mean, heck, you're doing everything you can. Now, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I keep reading, and whenever we get a doctor talking on CNN or Fox News, they talk about how this is like the flu. Some people who are in bad health, have immune problems, or are older can die from this. But Eli, they can die from the flu too, can't they?
Oh, yeah.
And especially, I mean, dear old Fox News is just hammering on all the uproar about coronavirus. And CNN's just getting it all wrong. And Fox News is doing some too many opinion pieces that aren't very correct, I don't believe. But that's okay. That's just me. And so what's going on out there? Any commotion, any panic, any street fights, any UFOs about coronavirus?
I don't know. I know people are buying up toilet paper. There's like no toilet paper in a 5-mile radius from my house. One of my buddies had to order toilet paper from eBay the other day just to get toilet paper. And I don't know what it is and why people are buying so much of it, but it's going nuts and no one's leaving their houses anymore. LA traffic is basically non-existent right now.
Enjoy it.
I can get from my house to the other side of town in like half an hour. Even right now, right at rush hour, doesn't matter. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I was in one of my favorite little towns. It's called Sumter, South Carolina. And it's a town of 100,000 people. And they have one of everyone's favorite lunch spots. It's called Cut Rate Drug. And they make the best chicken sandwiches and just the best all kinds of good stuff with too much mayonnaise and too much butter, but it's great. And so it's always punch. And yesterday I dropped off there about 11, no, about 12:40. And I said, well, maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe I won't have to wait for too long. I walked in there. There are about 125 seats in the dining area. And there were 5 people there. It was amazing.
Mm.
And, I asked the lady that was serving me, I said, is this all coronavirus? She said, yes, it is.
Jeez.
And, I hear these things. What's interesting is I've heard 2 people who I trust both say the same thing in very different ways. They said, probably got 3 million people in the United States that have contracted coronavirus. That's less than would contract the flu. And right now, we can't exactly tell how many are really getting it because we may have test kits, but the management of the tests and sending them in and getting the results can take a while. It can take 6 hours to get the results, but then you got to get it to a certified testing facility. Now, down here in the southeast where I'm from, LabCorp, L-A-B-C-O-R-P, they're a big, big testing facility for blood work and everything. And as of Monday, you will be able to go buy your kit at Walmart and take it to LabCorp and get it analyzed and see if you've got it.
Oh, wow.
Or you can just go on and forget it. And if you're in relatively good health and all, just do some self-isolation. Keep people from maybe getting near you and go on. I mean, I think a lot of people will not get tested. I mean,
yeah.
Are you going to go buy a test kit at Walmart, Eli?
It wasn't in my itinerary.
It wasn't. Well, then maybe
no.
You'd better get a flight over to England, do your test, and fly right back from England, right?
Yeah. I mean, well,
except
that you
can't
side,
because
flights are cheap.
Because all flights have been stopped.
Yeah, that's right. That's crazy.
That was a little joke. Sorry about that. I tend to make jokes that people don't think are funny. I will tell you, I'm going to tell you just a very true, very, very short story. You'll probably laugh at it, okay?
Okay.
I can make you laugh with a story that's not funny. But today, when I, at lunchtime, I took everything off the computer and I went to YouTube and I watched a countdown video of the 50 greatest world championship wrestlers of all time. And that's what I did for lunch. How about you? I made you laugh with something that wasn't funny. It's kind of weird, but that's okay when you love wrestling.
No,
it's
all good.
Professional, not Olympic-style wrestling, not Greco-Roman, but professional wrestling. But anyway, see, you got to laugh again. Are any of your plans, first of all, have they been curtailed by coronavirus for this weekend?
Yes. In fact, I was going to go to a concert on Sunday night and found out that it had been canceled. So,
who was the concert?
It was just a buddy of mine that I know from elementary school. It's his band that was playing. You know, just even a small show. It wasn't going to be anything like crazy, you know. It wasn't like Staples Center level concert, but everything's just getting canceled or pushed back. I mean, did you even see that they're pushing back movies?
I did see that.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, what I can tell you is I own a caricature company. You know, we draw cartoon drawings of people. And yesterday morning, I had 6 events canceled. We had a Renaissance Fair canceled. We had a couple of Irish festivals canceled. That's like money. That's how I make part of my living. And so it was very scary. We're having a lot of things being canceled. And can we think something through here, Eli?
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you an idea of something that I've got, and I'd like for you to comment. All right, everyone's going to stay off the road. They're going to work from home. Great. Now, what's going to happen? Does everybody have enough food that they'll be able to operate on? Or are they just going to sit on Facebook and talk? And I mean, is anything going to get done?
I mean, that's a big issue. And honestly, I don't really know what's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. And don't get mad at me. But I think after about a week, people are going to get bored with the whole thing and go back to work.
Think so?
That's what I think. Yeah. I mean, I haven't hung out away from work. I mean, I work at home, and when I get up in the morning, I do work. I have to make a living to be able to pay my bills. And so And so I got today. I mean, I just had to get out, so I went to Office Depot and hung out for 3 hours, printed up some flyers and some posters. So I worked over there, and it was very quiet in there. Not much was going on, and I looked at everybody in there, and I said, "Who all's staying home?" And then one of the guys behind the counter said, "I'm staying at home. I'm going to self-isolate and sleep in until about 2 tomorrow afternoon." And I said, uh-huh. And there is a seriousness about this. How, and Bernie Sanders is saying more people are going to die of coronavirus than died in World War II. That was what he said today.
Wow.
Now, I'm sure he has an extreme basis for that exact number. Wonder where that one comes from. I think anybody that starts creating statistics, they don't know what, I don't know where they're making them up. From Democrats to Republicans to independents, everybody wants to have an opinion. And what I wish people, what I wish these news services would do is, like, a year after people make these silly predictions that never come true and they have no knowledge of how to make them, I wish they would play them all back for everyone and see how stupid these people are sounding. Oh, the same number of people that died in World War II are going to die in this. How you got that figured out? What happens if we come up with a virus in about a week? That's all over and done with. Or it's not quite as bad as it seems. That's why I think things like this are problematic. I think they're more important for the news media so they can sell more advertising and get better ratings, frankly. Not being flippant.
I think I'm with you on that one.
But that's what happens. I mean, yes, it's serious, and let's take it seriously. And don't do something dumb. Don't go out and see a friend and give them a big hug and, you know, and all this stuff. That's not appropriate right now. Don't do that. You know, I'll tell you that I shake hands with elbows now.
You shake hands with who?
Well, you know, I just put my elbow up, and then they put their elbow up, and which elbow? That's my handshake right now. Someone was laughing about it. I looked at him, and I said, "So you want to get coronavirus? Cool. Stop that right there in its tracks." But I don't know. I truly think that people are going to get tired of all this, tired of staying at home. But you know what else is going to happen? Even more profound than they're going to get tired. Eli, they're going to run out of toilet paper.
Yeah, I know.
Then what are they going to do?
I don't know.
We won't cover
started.
That question. That's not a question that we need to cover here, El Chupacabra on MX. Don't you agree?
I agree, for sure.
Okay, but I thought it was somewhat humorous to think about that. But I think people are going to get bored. They're going to get bored and come out of hibernation and be careful about who they're around and hope they don't get it. Because I would be remiss if I didn't say there are probably a lot of people walking around with the coronavirus right now. You agree with me?
Yeah, probably.
Undiagnosed, and I don't know. So do you have any parting shots or thoughts about the coronavirus?
I mean, just be safe, you know. You know, wash your hands and be careful who you're around. You know, it's just, it can be scary, but, like, don't let it get to you so much. You know, don't let it get to the point where you're beating people up for toilet paper at a Walmart. Like, it's not that serious. So,
well, no,
at
just,
least,
I mean,
not
just,
yet.
Just do it at Target, not at Walmart, for goodness.
Yeah.
I've always been very suspicious of a store that has a sign that says household chemicals. I've always been very, very suspicious of Target for that one designation. You know, at least I'm in with Walmart. They call them cleaning supplies, not household chemicals.
Right.
But that's okay. Sorry, I guess I'm being a little bit silly. But, you know, we take it seriously. But I think there's going to be a huge amount of boredom. It's about the attention span of an average American that stay at home. So anyway, that's what we've got on Daryl Coronavirus. It certainly deserves to mention tonight, but so does our buddy El Chupacabra. So, Eli, we discussed, share some stories, share some information with everybody. So what do you have for us tonight so that I can make my comments?
This is what I got, okay? I'm going to go a little bit into the history of the Chupacabra. And so if you really start getting into researching the Chupacabra, you'll find that a lot of the initial sightings and reports started in around 1995 in Puerto Rico. But it wasn't the first time something that had been killing livestock and draining all the blood out. It happened in 1975 in a town called Moca. And this is what they called the Vampire of Moca.
Now, Moca is in what country or what location?
Puerto Rico. It's
Puerto
Rico.
Rico, okay.
Yeah. And so this happened in 1975, where for a short while, people were finding goats dead, pigs dead, chickens dead, drained of blood. And the police initially said that it was due to rabid dogs, which I think is interesting, considering that people call the Chupacabra a dog all the time. And I know our last episode was about the two different types. So people also caught these two, like, huge pythons in the same area. And they thought that was the cause for all the blood drainage and the killings. But it turns out that the killings just keep continuing after they killed those boas. So it wasn't snakes and it wasn't dogs. And it was just, it just disappeared after about a year. So, and that's the Vampire of Moca. Cool little story. And I mean, depending on your theory of the Chupacabra, maybe that was like the test run by the U.S. government or the aliens or whatever it is you believe. But I think it's very interesting, and maybe I wouldn't go so far to say that the Chupacabra and the Vampire of Moca are the same thing, but they're definitely very similar.
Okay. I think that's fine. So that's your first contribution for tonight, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I can keep going if you want me to.
Keep going. Do one more. I've got a little bit longer one, and
okay.
In my usual style, I'm going to complain and cause trouble. So
okay,
I'm gonna get into it with somebody.
All right. Okay. Well, going back, well, shortly after that, so we're going back to 1995, Puerto Rico, and the very first reported sighting of a Chupacabra, which I find is interesting because we have the Chupacabra researcher, Benjamin Radford, and he went to Puerto Rico and tracked down witnesses, took reports, had people sketch, you know, witness sightings and things like that. And so he found the first ever reported witness of the Chupacabra. It was a woman named Madeline Tolentino. And he was talking to her, and as she described the creature, had someone sketch it out for him. And in 1995, a movie came out called Species. And I'm not sure 100% what it's about, but it's about some sort of alien invasion. And there's a creature in there named Sybil that has a lizard-like body. has a tail, I believe has wings, and is like a reptilian type face. And that almost verbatim matches Madeline Tolentino's description of the chupacabra. So,
all right, may I stop here? May
of course.
I stop you and comment?
Of course,
what
sure.
You have just described is the Lee County Lizard Man.
Yeah.
I have my brand new book that's coming out on Amazon in about a week and a half. It's called The Lizard Man Companion. I've been researching this book for 3 years. It is authoritative. And what you have just given me a description of is the Lizard Man. Don't you find that interesting?
That is interesting.
Why?
Why is it interesting?
No, why is that the case? Do we have any sketches that Benjamin Radford collected? Those are probably in his book. I don't think neither one of us has read his book. We've got to get a copy of that book and read it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I know that for Benjamin Radford's expertise in, I think I have some similar expertise in the Lee County Lizard Man, which was a phenomenon between 1988 and 1990. And we have one sketch is all we've got from a witness who did this sketch at the police department in front of the sheriff. So, I mean, I'd like to see some of these and compare what we've got. You know, the old phrase is nothing new on the earth or under the sun. I think it's interesting. Now please continue. But I wanted to bring, I thought that point was important.
Yeah, for sure. However, I think Bradford is saying that that it might have been some sort of, it might have been Tolentino's projection onto something, that she didn't actually see the chupacabra. Instead, she saw this creature from a movie. And so I don't know 100% about that. Because it's interesting because other people described the chupacabra differently. And that was more like the reptilian kind that we talked about last time. So, I don't know. It's just interesting that the first sighting of the chupacabra was completely different from the ones that followed it.
Okay. All right. Well, may I take the floor here?
Of course, John.
All right. First of all, that was not the first sighting of the chupacabra.
Well, that's
she is
okay.
Not. No. Follow me. I'm being accurate here.
Okay, tell me.
Person. In the most recent series of sightings, that's not patient number zero. That's like Christopher Davis, who saw the Lizard Man, and everybody gives him credit for being the first sighting of the Lizard Man. When sightings of the Lizard Man place before 1988, that took place, we had living people that whose grandparents and relatives saw the Lizard Man in 1910. Never gotten credit for it. I mean, several of the folks that I talked to. So, number one, she's not patient number zero, period. I don't care what he says. He can say anything he wants. He can say the cow jumped over the moon. Well, maybe it did. But, you know, she's not patient number zero. She's the first one that he traced a series of sightings back to. All right? That's you said that there are, and I'm going to digress a minute, and I'm glad this is being recorded. You said that you took a recent trip down to what country?
El Salvador.
Okay. Took a trip down to El Salvador. And I'm sure that there are beautiful places in El Salvador. A lot of wonderful people. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, didn't you speak with some relatives and friends down there that said that there are recent sightings of the chupacabra?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well then now, where did this come from? Where do you trace those back to?
I don't know.
Where are patient zero, Mr. Radford? It's going to get better now. What Benjamin Radford has done, because I guess after in the sciences, after three masters and a doctorate degree, all from top 100 institutions, I can tell you that it seems like Benjamin Radford has committed the egregious sin of proof by example. Here's an example.
So
we're now going to generalize it and develop this whole grand theory based on one instance. That's not scientific. Mm. There's no scientist in America that would agree with that, because that's proof by example. You take a specific example and generalize it. And if you start patient number zero, that's not even science. That's National Enquirer or Weekly World News. No, it is. I mean, you know, and I'm reading, you know what? I've got this article that has a lot of the same stuff that you mentioned. It's from Earth. It's a it's from the BBC. It's from Earth. It's great, and it has all this information, and it's just a fictional story. And say that people are all the time doing proof by example, saying because of this, it must always be true. That is the tip. Now, Benjamin Radford is kind of let me kind of get his background here. I love it. Radford, a research fellow with the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry. Well, now next week, I am going to make an example of a podcast from some fellows that are part of this institution. And all they do is, if there's a story, they make you laugh and they criticize whatever happened without ever doing any investigation or without any knowing. They make things up. And here's a perfect example of making things up. And this is a lizard man thing, because I've done, you know, a lot of research into what skeptics say. They frankly make everything up. They go with proof by example. Oh, by the way, this guy talked to some professor and said, well, this is what they all are. Well, that's not what they all are. Again, there's proof by example. And I found some professor from where the heck he is. I don't want to hit him on too hard. And then they talk about, somebody from Texas A&M University who specializes in inflammatory skin conditions. What does he know about chupacabras? That's like me. Okay, I could teach you golf, because at one point I was almost a professional golfer when I was in college. But I couldn't teach you soccer. I got no clue. And putting me on as an expert in something and say, because I know soccer? When we're trying to talk about golf, come on. So anywho, these guys on this, and I will have it. I'm sorry I don't have it, but it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. They did this podcast and they talked about my poor boy Christopher Davis. He's the one that is credited with the first, I think it's the first recorded by the sheriff description of a lizard man sighting. So the first thing they say is, looking at the McDonald's in Bishopville. And he didn't. What was he doing? Was he out getting some? Was he out drinking? Was he getting high? What was he doing? All right. Because they said, because one of these, their clowns said, I worked at a McDonald's in, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we got off at 11 o'clock, so he should have been home by 12. Okay? That's what the guy said, and then they laughed about what Christopher Davis could be doing. And they're part of this committee of skeptical proof by example. The fact of the matter is that McDonald's on Interstate 20 and U.S. Highway 15 is the busiest McDonald's on that entire interstate between the capital of South Carolina and Florence, South Carolina, because there are two major truck stops. Now, have you ever worked at a McDonald's, or a Burger King, or a super controlled fast food restaurant? Have you ever done that, Eli?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, now let me describe something. And I stopped by the manager of that very McDonald's. And I said, what time do you close? He said, 12. Well, sometimes during the summer, we have to stay open, like getting toward Labor Day. We have to stay open 24 hours a day. I said, okay, has it all been that way here? He said, yeah, ever since they started. Because the farther you get into the summer, the busier this restaurant gets at night. I said, well, when you have a shift person that gets at 12, have they ever had to stay late to do extra cleaning and extra prep for the next day? You know what his answer was? All the time. Mm. When you worked one of those typical fast food restaurants, did you ever have busy and you couldn't clean up and you couldn't prep done and you had to stay late?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So here you've got two so-called skeptics laughing for Davis and saying, well, he was probably high. Because he leaves that McDonald's and he ends up about 3 miles away at 2 a.m. Now, that's just nonsense. That's just nonsense. That's not proof by anything. That's called ridicule. And that's called making things up. And these are skeptics that have Patreon accounts that ask people to pay them money to continue telling these wild yarns. What do you think about that? What do you think about those skeptics, Eli?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
Not a huge fan of them. Yeah.
Number one, I'm a huge fan of someone that seeks the truth and does research. They are champion. So I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to be accurate. I'm not trying to call anybody out. But what I am saying is, let's engage in scientific research. Let's not engage in name-calling and proof by example and taking an example and generalizing that to get an entire theory and using an expert in a different area to prove your point. That is not scientific. That is, as Dr. Kirkman, one of my graduate school professors in the math department at Wake Forest, said, well, it's just garbage. That was her favorite phrase. You'd turn in some homework to her, and she'd just put a big X on it, and she'd just write the word garbage on it. It felt really bad, and you didn't want Dr. Kirkman. She was a pretty nice lady, but you didn't want her to think that you were a researcher. So I mean, so let's get it right, and let's not use proof by example because that's horrible. There's ways to prove something mathematically. And proving something mathematically really means you are proving a rule. And a rule can be the existence of the chupacabra. Right? That's a fact you may want to prove one day. So let's prove it the right way, or let's gather our evidence and go from there and say, here's what we've got. We don't know. Don't say you've proven the existence or the non-existence of a speculative paranormal entity. Will you? Is that okay? Can you live with that statement?
Of course.
Let's do it.
I agree with it.
Well, okay. So on Murder 123. That's my podcast. We talk about murders. We have some psychics, and we have a paranormal investigator who actually works for the state of Kentucky. And he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. And he said, I have a recording of a ghost whistling some kind of famous military song. And what was so funny is he played an EVP recording, and we heard this ghostly entity whistling the theme from The Bridge Over the River Kwai, which was a military movie. It came out in the early 60s about the British occupation of Indochina, I believe, and it was the theme song. and you hear something coming out of nowhere whistling that, and you have pictures of the people there, and nobody's whistling. And we say, here's some evidence. We don't know what it says, but we have some evidence. We just have to categorize it and go on and see if we come back later and get another piece of evidence that would match it or fit in with it. So that's how you do that, instead of just
right.
making fun of somebody or running proof by example, which is just, that was back in school. Proof by example in Dr. Stevenson's class was an excuse for him to give you an F in the class immediately and let you take it over the next semester. That's what Dr. Stevenson, who had his doctorate from Clemson and was a research scientist at AT&T, that's what he thought about proof by example. Pretty severe. He made sure you. I was trained to do proof by example, and he gave us all one chance. Then after that, it was over. So that's what I've got to say. Maybe I'm being a little bit severe, but I think sometimes these skeptics are severe with us. Don't you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I told you mine was gonna be wild. Pardon me.
I was just saying the ridicule alone can be pretty heavy. A lot of the time.
It's tough. I mean, this ridicule stuff, this sounds like something out of Weekly World News or National Enquirer or one of these top 40 lists that you get at the bottom of the news, you know, the things that Don Knotts' family has said about him have confirmed what we always knew. And you go on and on and on, find out that maybe he liked horses or something, you know, it's kind of silliness, and that's what we've got. So I pretty much don't believe anything I see unless I've made up my own mind and looked at the evidence. I think that's what people should do. If I want to believe in, if I want to enjoy the benefit, the stories about remote viewing, which is sometimes hard to prove, that's my prerogative to enjoy some things without proving them. If I want to, you know. Listen, if you want to watch your favorite television show, you don't have to prove that it really does you much good other than you like it. Would you say that's a fair thing, Eli?
I would say that's a fair thing.
Yeah, so you can do whatever you want to do. Don't start preaching to everybody when you don't have your facts right. So I'm going to do some more research on skeptics for next time, and I will report in next week. How's that one?
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Good. So now, tell us some more about the chupacabra. I'm all ears.
Tell you some more, huh?
My body has evaporated, and there's nothing but two ears in these headphones and nothing else here where I'm sitting. It's all empty space.
Mm.
I'm supposed to laugh at that.
Well, I don't have a whole... Sorry, but
that's okay.
I didn't have too much more on the chupacabra. Maybe
all
just
right.
a question. Maybe we could just hit back and forth between each other.
Sure, I'd love to.
Because according to Benjamin Radford, the chupacabra started in 1995, and of course, when you really get down to it, the name. Chupacabra comes from Puerto Rico in 1995. But the creature itself has somehow managed to transfer over from a tiny little island to the mainland and is now in South, Central, and North America. And so I guess the question is, how did it transfer over? Or
how could that be? Did they use the teleporter from the Enterprise on Star Trek?
Yeah.
How did that?
Maybe.
Or did they give a free passes on the Queen Elizabeth and let them sail over? How'd that happen?
I don't know. I think maybe this is just my own idea, and maybe I'll do some research into this. Is that? Maybe the chupacabra comes from the mainland and somehow ended up in Puerto Rico through some means. To me, that would make more sense.
And now you've opened up a whole new can of worms. So if the chupacabra began in the mainland of Central America, correct? Is that that's what you're thinking,
right?
Correct?
Right.
So if it, yeah, right. Chupacabra comes from the mainland of Central America. You've opened up a whole can of worms. What
well,
about the
think about it this
over
way.
There? Yeah.
Think about it this way. Let's say a wild chupacabra is running around and it kills a deer, drains it of blood, but it's no one's deer. It's just a wild deer. Like, no one's going to see that. No one's going to find that, especially out in the middle of the jungle. But then you're confined to a small island. Food supplies are limited, so you have to go after easy targets, hence livestock. Then it becomes a problem. Then people start seeing it. People start reporting it.
Well, Eli, this borders on one of my favorite topics. It's a topic from biology that I have applied to the lizard man. For the chupacabra actually exist, for a collection of them to exist and perpetuate, modern theory says it would take around 750 of those entities to create the minimum viable population. Now, if 750 chupacabra on that small island, wouldn't we be running into them all the time?
Oh, yeah. I feel like maybe.
Well, it's like I say, if it would take 750 Bigfoot to keep that colony going between Pawleys Island, South Carolina, and Charleston, South Carolina. If there were 750 Bigfoot out there, we'd be bumping into them all the time. We'd be having dinner with them.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing some Kentucky Fried Chicken and sitting down and having a nosh with them. So you talked about that, which is complementary to what you're saying. There, you know, you can't just have a monster floating around. What's going to happen when the monster gets old? You're going to die. And I mean, obviously, it hadn't died so far.
Yeah.
So again, based on evolutionary biology and accepted biological theory, where does minimum viable population fit into the story of one chupacabra on one little island? How big is that island?
I don't know. Let me see.
Yeah, check it out.
Give me
again,
one second.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a biologist, but I know that when I started swimming lizard man, I had to write a column for a couple of months on the lizard man before the first lizard man festival. I found out, you know, I learned a lot. My education did me well. I could read research papers and I could understand how some of these topics fit together. Now, I'm probably not an expert on DNA. There's no probably about it. But I can certainly learn concepts like minimum viable population and some statistics, which I do know a little bit, and try to see how it all fits together. So I think that would be another topic I'd like to try to put in here and see how it all works. Because again,
Puerto Rico,
sounds like. Pardon. Yes, sir.
Sorry. Puerto Rico is about 5,300 square miles.
That's 250 by 250 miles. That's 250 by. No, let me make sure I get this right. You said it's how many square miles?
5,300, roughly.
Okay. So 100 by 100. 200 by 200. I think maybe 225 miles by 225 miles. That's pretty good size. But I mean, if you had 750 of these things floating around, they'd be sightings all over. There'd be lots of dead animals around.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even exist. So where did it come from? Unless you take this theory that just puts a nice little bow. The box says it's a dog with mange. That's what this article says in the BBC. It's an article with it's a dog with mange. So done. We're finished. That's what this article says. And that's not the case at all. Again, proof by example. Well, it because we see this and we believe this, this is what it must be. That's the egregious sin of proof by example. Just taking your example and exploding it into something and not looking at everybody else, everything else around it. So, again, I can keep going back to it all night long, because that's what you need to do. You need to have some good, you know, you need to correlate a lot of this with your theory. Now, the chupacabra, you know, like, I have this wild, crazy idea that I do not believe is wild and crazy. The Bigfoot can jump into a portal, and the Bigfoot can cloak. Well, there's nothing that says chupacabra can't do the same thing. We've had nobody prove that chupacabra cannot do that, have we?
No.
Okay.
We have not. Yeah.
So be careful when you start making statements with no proof. Remember that famous giant squid didn't exist? All of a sudden they found one. Very embarrassing. So, yeah. That's what these skeptics forget. But they just love writing and talking and laughing. They don't really get down into... I love it when they call somebody a research fellow and then they make the grade A mistake. So anyway, I'll stop saying that. I think I made my point. And I think you've raised some interesting questions. So I think what we will do, let's do a little bit of research and let's come back next time and report on our research. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
Good,
I'm
good.
Excited.
Well, I am too. I always like tackling a good topic. I told somebody one time, I'm addicted to doing research. There's a certain feeling in brain, you know, there's certain chemicals that get in your brain when you are doing creative thinking and when you're doing research by putting things together. And it's a little bit like getting a high from weed or from LSD. It's the same kind of thing. And I just enjoy that feeling of trying to combine things and see what I can get. So, you know, there you go. So I will have some fun. So do you have, before we head out of here, do you have anything else you would like to share with us?
That's about all I have for this week, John.
Well, that was wonderful. Thank you. And I'm about done. I got to complain a little bit, which is my favorite thing to do. So I think we had a good time, and I think we learned a lot. And I think we'll be back next time. Conclusion.
Yep.
I guess I'll say good night from elchupacabra.mx. And Eli says,
good night.
Yes.
And
good night.
Merry Christmas to all.
And to all a good night. That's charming.
Oh,
it
that's
is,
how it goes.
It is March, man. Yeah. But that's okay. Have a good one.
Bye.